Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey, North Point, thank you so much for joining us today. Hey, I want you to know that no matter where you are, what you're going through, God is with you today. Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is never going to leave you, and He's never going to forsake you. And better than all of that is that He is going to see you all the way through. So no matter what season of life you're in, I want you to know that God has you in His hand. And I'm so glad that you are watching now as we are going through this series on our house habits here in 2021. 2021 here at North Point, we have said this is our year of application, our year of application. And we've defined application as the action of putting something into operation, because we know that there are some things in our life that we want to see. And if we want to see those things in our life, then there's something we have to do in order to see what we want to see. I love this quote from John Maxwell. It says, "You'll never change your life until you change something you do daily. The secret of your success is found in your daily routine." The secret of your success is found in your daily routine. It's found in your habits. There are some habits that we need to establish in our lives so that our lives will be more established. You see, we can't change anything if we first don't change something. We can't change anything if we first don't change something. I love this quote from a Chinese philosopher. It says, "If you do not change direction, you may end up where you are heading." If you don't change direction, you might end up where you're heading. And sometimes that is not a good place. And that's why we are talking about these house habits, because these house habits, they serve as our directors. They serve as things that keep us, make sure we are moving in the right direction. And that's why these habits are so valuable. And we started at the beginning of the year and went through our first four habits. And those habits are really all about community. They're about relationship. We love big and we protect unity. And now we've moved into the second four of our 12 house habits. And these are our transformation habits. And the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the first one of that four. And that is we lean in. We lean in because we want our life to be transformed. Now, transformation for a follower of Christ happens through something called discipleship. Discipleship, now that's more of a religious word, a spiritual word. We don't use that in our everyday language and vocabulary. And so what we've done here at North Point is we have given that word our own definition, kind of an in-house definition. And we say that discipleship is our process to progress. It's our process. If we want to see progress in our life, we have to enter into the process that's going to bring about that progress. And that process is discipleship. But when we're talking about we lean in is our posture to progress. Because sometimes before we even get into the process, we first need to get into the posture. We just need to lean in. We need to lean in. And isn't that what Jesus did when Jesus called his disciples? He said, "Hey, come and follow me." He said, "I just want you to lean in my direction. Just begin to lean into this relationship." And I think it's very important that we see that Jesus, he asked for a follow before he ever asked for transformation. He asked for a lean before he asked for anything else. And sometimes we can get intimidated because we're looking all the way to the finish line, when in reality, we haven't even taken our first step on the starting line. We haven't even begun the race and we're looking all the way to the end. We're like, "I don't know how I'm going to finish. I don't know how this is all going to work out." And we get overwhelmed and intimidated, and we just need to focus on exactly where we are. I love in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we talked about this a little bit last week, that Paul kind of uses this analogy that life is a race. And if life is a race, then we need to run to win. But everybody, when they're in the blocks, right? They're at the starting line, they're in the blocks. Man, there is such a forward lean. There is so much lean there in the blocks. They are leaning into that race. Nobody in those blocks is leaning back on their heels, right? And that's what we talked about last week. We talked about things that cause us to lean back and fear and exhaustion and experience and pain and skepticism. All these things will cause us to lean back. But hey, at the beginning of the race, nobody is leaning back. And that's what Paul is challenging us to do. He's saying, hey, in this race, you got to run to win. So don't live life on your heels. Don't run this race on your heels. If you want to win, then you've got to lean in. But it brings us to a very important question. And that is, what does it really mean to win in life? Paul says it's a race and run to win. What does that really look like for us as Christ followers? I'm going to give you a very simplistic answer. I want to boil it down to two things. If we are winning in life, two things are happening. One, we know God, and two, we make him known. This is what it looks like to win in life, to know God, and then to make him known. You see, when you were born on this planet, you were born to know God. You were born to be in relationship and fellowship with him. You were born to worship him and to serve him. But in that moment that you came into relationship with him and you were, what Jesus said, born again in John chapter 3, when you are born again, from that moment on, your purpose is now to make him known. I like to say it this way. From that moment on, you were saved to live sent. It is about you living your life on mission to make his name famous in the earth for other people to hear of his goodness, of his love, of his forgiveness, of his grace, and of his mercy. Paul says life is a race. We should run to win. That means that we should know God and we should make him known. Now, spending the majority of my life in the sports world, either as a player or a coach, I can tell you this. I have never met a winner that didn't believe they could win. I've never met a winner that did not believe they could win, even if the odds were stacked against them, even if things were not leaning in their favor. There is just this sense of, if I am running this race, then I can win. If I am fighting this fight, then I can win. If I am playing this game, then I can win. There's this sense of they are running and fighting and playing because they really believe deep in their soul that they can win. They can win. And so today, as we talk about leaning in, I want to give you two things that I want to challenge you to lean in today. The first thing I want to challenge you to lean into is I want to challenge you to lean into faith. I want to challenge you to lean into faith. I want to challenge you to lean into this belief. As I was just talking, that these athletes, these coaches, they believe they can win. I want to challenge you to lean in to faith. Now, here at North Point, we have a working definition for the word faith, and I've used this for years in my life, but it simply says this, that faith is a deep belief, leads to an action, results in obedience, and must be constantly cultivated in your life. But I want to start with just those first few words. Faith is a deep belief. Now, it's way more than that, but I want to focus on that just for our time together today. You see, our faith journey always begins with a belief. Now, I'm not just referring to the initial deep belief moment, and certainly that is when it all begins, when you choose to believe in God's love and his grace and his forgiveness, when you choose to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and his sacrifice on the cross for your sin, surely that is where the faith journey begins for each and every one of us who have embarked on this faith journey. But the faith journey is ongoing. The faith journey starts over and over again because it starts with the belief that I am forgiven, but then it moves to the belief that I can forgive, the belief that my heart can be healed, the belief that I can access God's peace, the belief that things really can change, and the belief that God can use somebody like me. You see, leaning into faith is really just rethinking and reframing of what's possible. Whenever we lean into faith, when we lean into belief, we are just rethinking and reframing what is actually possible. And you see, the life that we are living, it all starts with what we are believing, because we know what we are believing impacts our being, and our being impacts our behaving, and our behaving impacts the life that we are building and the life that we are living. Now, I know most of you right now, watching in your kitchen, in your living room, maybe you're still in the bedroom, wherever you're watching right now. I know that most of you watching right now, you have made the choice to believe in God. You have made the choice to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You put your faith in his death, his burial, and in his resurrection. So when it comes to winning that first part of the race, man, we are winning the race when it comes to knowing God. We leaned into that possibility, and that possibility became our reality. We leaned into the possibility that he could love somebody like us. We leaned into the possibility that he really could forgive our sins. We leaned into the possibility that he really did want relationship with us. We leaned into that possibility, and that possibility has become our reality. But many times, where we often struggle is in the second part of this race, and that is making him known. We know God, but our struggle is in making him known. Now, I would ask you this question. What stands in the way? What stands in the way of me running to win that part of the race? And most of the time, it's in me believing that I can do it. It's in me believing that I can actually do it. Because remember, I said most people are not going to play a game that they don't think they can win. They're not going to run a race that they don't think they can win. So if I don't believe that I can do it, I'm not going to enter that part of the race. And so most people settle for winning the race of knowing God and not participating in the second part of the race, the very reason of which we were born again, and that is to make God known on the earth. But what if we just took a moment today and we just reframed what was possible? What if we thought about it differently? What if we just thought this, that people were born to know God, and I was born again to help make that possible? People were created to know their Creator, and I am born again to help make that happen. So therefore, I'm not doing this thing on my own. No, I'm actually partnering with the Holy Spirit in a kingdom assignment. I'm actually partnering with God to do what God wanted to do from the very beginning, and that is for people to know him and for people to live on a mission to help others know him better. But now let's be honest for a moment. You say, wow, Philip, thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it. But let me just be honest with you. I still have some hesitations. I am sure you do. I am sure you do. And here's the reason why. Is because we all have our limitations and our excuses. We all have reasons that we feel like we could not or we should not be used by God. We all have our issues. But what if we could make it just about leaning? What if right now we could put everything to the side and we could make it about something as simple as leaning, just leaning into the belief that something was possible. Just leaning in faith that something is possible. You see, oftentimes we underestimate the power of a lean. We underestimate the power of a posture that is leaning into what might be possible. There's a great story in Luke chapter 7, and it's a story of a Roman officer, and it starts in verse 1, and it says that when Jesus had finished saying all these things to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. "If anyone deserves your help, he does," they said, "for he loves Jewish people and he even built a synagogue for us." So Jesus went with them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel." And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. Now, you want to talk about somebody who has limitations? You want to talk about somebody who has excuses of why something like this should have never happened? Oh man, this guy has limitations. This guy has excuses. He is a Roman military officer. He's not even Jewish. He is not under the covenant that God had with his people in the Old Testament. This man is an outsider. He is on the outsider. He's on the outside looking in. He doesn't know all the Jewish protocols. He doesn't know how to ask or what to say or what he knows nothing about these protocols. There are plenty of reasons for why this man should have never, ever made a move. But instead, he decided to lean in to what was possible. The Bible says that he had heard about Jesus. He heard about the miracles. He heard about the healing. And he leaned into the possibility that maybe Jesus would heal his servant. And not only does Jesus heal the servant, but Jesus records one of the most profound statements in all of the Gospels. When Jesus says this, "I have not seen faith like this in all of Israel." I haven't found this faith. This is the greatest faith that I have encountered, even among all of my people, people who are in covenant, people who don't have the limitations and don't have these excuses. Out of all of those people, I have not even seen faith like this. And there was this Roman officer that said, because he did miracles there, I believe, and Jesus can do miracles for me. I have heard about what he has done, and I believe he can do it in my house. You see, this Roman officer just put an "and" on it. Jesus did it, and I believe he can do it for me. But isn't it interesting? Jesus says, this is the greatest faith in all of Israel that I've seen. And yet when Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth, it was like the lowest, the least faith that he have encountered. I mean, don't you know that Jesus wanted to do miracles in Nazareth? I mean, this is his hometown. These are his people. These are his friends, his family members. This is where he grew up. He would love to do miracles, but when he went back into his hometown, the Bible says that he could only do a few miracles because they had so little faith. They saw the same thing that this Roman officer heard about. They saw the miracles. Not only did they see some miracles, they had heard about other miracles that Jesus had done. But instead of putting an and on it, they put a but on it. They said, wow, what amazing teaching. Whoa, what incredible miracles. But isn't that Joseph? Isn't that Joseph's son, JoJo, who lived down on the corner on the little carpentry shop? Isn't that JoJo's son? What? But isn't that Mary's firstborn? And wasn't that kind of a scandalous thing with Joseph and Mary? Like, don't we know his brothers? Didn't we see him raise up? But they just put a butt on it. And because they put a butt on it, their butt got in the way. You see, you cannot let your butt get in the way of your miracle. Here, Jesus says, no, this is the greatest faith I've seen, and it's the greatest faith because this guy chose to put an and on it. I've heard what he's done. I've seen what he's done, and I'm leaning into the possibility that he might do it for me. You see, our butt, when we put a butt on it, it causes us to lean out, and when we lean out, we miss out. But if we would just put an and, and we'll just put an end on it, and we will choose to lean in. We will choose to lean into the possibility. We will choose to lean in, and we will choose to believe. That's exactly where the Roman officer found himself. He found himself just leaning into the possibility. He sent the Jewish leaders that he did know. He said, why don't you go find Jesus? I've heard about what he's done. Maybe, possibly something will happen. Maybe there will be a miracle. Maybe he will heal my servant. He just leaned into the possibility. Here's the second thing that I want to challenge you with today. It's not that you would just lean into faith, but that you would lean in to follow through. That you would lean into the follow-through, because this Roman officer, he did not just have faith in what was possible, he took a step. He didn't just lean in to the belief of what was possible, no, he took a step. He took a chance, and he sent the Jewish leaders to go find Jesus. You see, after we lean into what's possible, we simply need to take a step, not focused on our whole life journey, not trying to figure out the trajectory of our entire lives, not even looking at 5 years down the road. What about this week? What about the next 7 days? You see, I want to challenge you to lean into the possibility, because it's just like getting in the starting blocks of that race. And when you get down and you're getting ready to run that 100-meter sprint, those guys, they've got that forward lean. They are leaning into what's possible, the possibility that they're going to win this race, the possibility that they are going to get that gold medal. They are leaning into that possibility because they believe they can win. They are leaning into possibility. And whenever that gun goes off and their hands come up and they've got such a forward lean coming out of those blocks, man, when they start to lean, boom, they just take one step. That's what follow through looks like. It doesn't look like all 100 meters. It looks like getting in the starting blocks and believing that it's possible, and then just taking one step in the right direction. So what is possible this week? What is possible for you to follow through in the next 6 days that could make an eternal difference next Sunday? Well, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. And it is going to be an amazing celebration, whether you are watching here online or whether you are in person in the building. It is going to be an incredible day as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what could you do in the next 6 days to make that an even greater celebration? What could you do from now until then to make an eternal impact in somebody's life? You see, this week we're running. This week we're coming out of the blocks. This week we are running to win. This week we are running. We want to know God and we want to make God known. What can you do to follow through? What are some easy things that you can do to follow through? Let me just give you a few examples. It's just taking that first step. It's not thinking about the whole race. It's just taking that first step. It's getting me to the lean-in position where I believe something might be possible. God might be able to do something. God has done it for 2,000 years on continents all over the globe. People have been changed and transformed. It has happened. I believe that God has done it then, and maybe God will do it now. He's done it for them. Maybe he'll do it for me. I'm leaning into the possibility, and then I just want to take that first step. Boom, coming out of the blocks. What can you do to follow through? Let me just give you a few things that you can do. You can invite a family member or a coworker to join you at one of our in-person Easter gatherings at 8, 9:30, and 11:15. For Easter, we're adding an extra service. We got three services, 8, 9:30, and 11:15. Maybe you could invite someone to your house to watch the Easter service right there in your living room. Maybe if you're not feeling comfortable getting back in person, you can invite somebody over and have maybe just your extended family, maybe your next door neighbor, maybe a coworker, invite some people over to have Easter right there in your home. It's just one thing that you can do for follow through. Maybe this week it's just sharing our social media posts and letting people know about our service times and letting people know about our online campus so they can watch Easter right there in their home. Maybe it's actually next week even actually sharing the service when the service goes live and you begin to share the service, or even texting somebody the link where they can join you on Easter Sunday so they can watch right there. You see, there are just things that we can do to follow through. I'm not asking you to figure everything out. What is your evangelism strategy for the rest of your life? I'm not asking you to figure that out in the long term. I just want to know, what do you believe is possible in the next 6 days? What do you believe is possible that God could do on Easter Sunday in your family, in the life of your next door neighbor, in the life of your friend, in the life of his or her family? What do you believe God can do? And will you take one step to follow through to make that happen? Easter Sunday is going to be a great Sunday. And you know what? I don't want it to be just great for you. I want it to be great for somebody else, because you decided this week, I'm going to run the race and I'm going to run to win. And I want to run the second part of that race. And I want to make him known. And you're going to invite somebody into a life transformation moment on Easter Sunday. Hey, we're closing up all of our services this year with a lead acrostic. And basically in this year of application, we're saying, hey, we want to lead ourselves well. And what does it look like to lead yourself well this year? It's just an acrostic for we got to learn, we got to evaluate, we got to apply, and then we have to do it again. So what is our takeaway today? What did we learn today? It's simply this. Miracles begin when I lean in to what's possible. Miracles begin when I just lean in to what's possible. Just like that Roman officer, he just leaned into the possibility. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know Jesus' response. He didn't know if the Jewish leaders were actually even going to go find Jesus. He just leaned in to what is possible, and that's where the miracle always begins. The E, the evaluation, what are we evaluating? The question is this: am I winning the race of making God known? Am I winning the race of making God known? And we could add a little follow-up question to that. Why or why not? You need to know if you are winning that race and you are making God known, you need to know why you are doing that, how you are doing that. But if not, why are you not? Why are you not? Is it that you don't believe that you can? Is it that there is some fear of what other people might say? Why are you not making him known? And then finally, the application is this. Take one step this week to follow through on what you believe might be possible. Come on, that's our action step this week. This week, we're just going to take one step. I'm not asking you to run the whole race. Come up with a life plan. No. I'm asking you to take one step. What do you believe is possible? You're coming out of the blocks. You got your lean. You believe it's possible. I'm asking you to take one step and follow through for somebody's life to be transformed on Easter Sunday. And then finally, the D is just do it again, because this is really what happens. The faith journey never stops. It never, ever stops. We are always leaning into faith, and we are always leaning in to follow through. And we do it again and again and again and again. And let me pray for you today. Father, thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you today that you love us. God, we thank you that you have a purpose and a plan for our lives. And God, you have called us to run this race of life, and you have called us to run it in such a way that we might win. You have called us that we might know you, but not only that we would know you, but that we would also make you known. And God, I pray this week that we would run that second part of the race well. God, that we would run to make you known. God, that we would believe something is possible. It is possible that God could save my neighbor. It is possible that God could work in the life of my coworker. It is possible, and God, that we would lean in to belief, that we would lean into faith, that we would lean into what is possible. But not only would we lean into that, but God, we would take the first step. Help us this week, God, to take the first step of follow through, that it might lead others to life transforming moments. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, why don't you put an amen on that today? Hey, I just want to say thank you so much for joining. And I believe that this week is going to be a week of transformation. Let's lean into what's possible, and then let's take that one step of follow through. And I know heaven is going to be rejoicing because of the results. God bless you. See you next week.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.